So after a two-week hiatus, we're back.
Yeah, John, you're going to have to carry me on this one. I'm too jet-lagged. You're going to have to do all the work. Uh-oh. All the hilarious jokes.
Hold on. Can we pause this so I can read what we're supposed to be doing today? Hold on a second.
Like, we've been off for 2 weeks, and it's totally like that. It feels brand new all over. It feels like we've never done this before.
It's like a new girlfriend.
You know, the real winners here today are the listeners.
Okay, we're on to episode 36, I believe it is.
I believe you.
Yeah, and they said we would never get past 31. That's what they were saying.
It's like the Logan's Run of... of podcasts, right?
They'll never get
listeners
past 29.
Over 40.
Right. Well, I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney. Foul Territory, our weekly,
Foul Territory.
Occasionally every other week program on what's going on in the world of baseball and pop culture.
It's a baseball podcast about baseball and stuff.
Sounds like a tagline.
I think that's what the description says, right?
It is.
We have that. We're hilarious. Hilariously captioned. You know what? You got to have fun, John.
We crack ourselves up.
But you know what? While you're having John Fun, which people should just call it that from now on, even though
John
it's longer.
Fun.
While you're out there having John Fun, remember to give us a nice rating on iTunes. Some of you did that. And, you know, we were very pleased. We were pleased there were more than a few people listening to this program. So you don't have to do it right now. Unless you feel like you're not going to actually be able to do it later because you forget or you have something else to do or whatever. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now. So I understand. So maybe you know what? They should pause it right now, John. Pause it. Then give it a good review. Then come back. Honestly, because now they've already listened. They've already downloaded. I don't care if they listen to the rest of this. And frankly, they're probably better off if they don't. And that's today's PSA.
Was that the bit?
That was. You know what? I had no bit scheduled, but I'm very loopy right now from the jet lag, and this is basically what you should expect the rest of the show.
Great, fantastic. So it's the evening. It's an evening recording of the show. We've done the last few in the morning, but this is evening show, and Jed is fresh off of a red-eye trip from California back to New York, and so it's evening time after being up all night the day before. So good times.
Yes, there were too many snorers on the plane for me to sleep. So, too many snorers. That's a weird word, isn't it?
Snorers.
All right, let's get into this baseball stuff. Enough of my yapping.
Yeah, so we get into the baseball stuff by first talking a little bit about the flooding in Houston and the impact that that's had on, obviously, on millions of lives and tens of thousands who've been displaced as a result of that, including baseball.
Most importantly, baseball, John. Okay, that's not true.
We're just trying to add a little levity to the situation, right?
Yeah, no, that's a lot of water.
It is. It's crazy.
I mean, I don't know what to say. It's so much water. People showing like the before and after pictures online, like here's Houston 3 days ago, and here now it's underwater.
Yeah, I've seen some time-lapse stuff that's just crazy. You know, you see basically a parking lot go from completely bone dry to up, you know, above the windows in a matter of 24 hours. It's unbelievable. So the equivalent it is if you had a foot or an inch of rain equals a foot of snow. So we're looking at 50 feet of snow.
You know, that's a lot of snow.
That's a lot of snow. I wouldn't want that.
No, I
wouldn't. I'll take water over snow.
I don't know, man. I don't know. That's so much water.
Yeah.
Like it's so much water.
Well, as of yesterday, they said it was enough water to produce 15 days worth of Niagara Falls.
Oh.
Is that crazy?
I don't know. Do people really know the
trillions of water? Well, they know the cubic foot output
no,
of a
No one knows
a
that,
water.
John. What are you talking about?
The experts do.
I feel like this information doesn't help anybody.
It does. There's other podcasts
what else it's
for
like.
That.
It's like if you went out to Lake Minnepaqua, and if you took all that water and you put it on top of itself, and then you cubed the square root. No one cares, John. It's a lot of water.
It is a lot of water. It's like 10 football fields of water.
Well, if you took 10 football fields and you filled them up with water...
It's, you know, I will say these tragedies are always so bad, but the one silver lining is you seeing Americans coming together and mm-hmm. helping each other. And I don't know if you saw my favorite video of everything is the line of pickup trucks with small boats attached on trailers, just like hundreds of them lined up going to Houston trying to help. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And also some of the photos of these neighborhoods where these guys are all gathered around their boats with shotguns saying, you know, we're a little drunk, don't loot.
Okay, that...
Because that's become a big problem.
That, you know what, honestly, I have trouble caring about looting during this sort of thing. I mean, I guess if someone's stealing a television, that's not cool. I guess it depends on what they're looting. Because I feel like there are certain things where it's like, well, you know what, actually, this person just lost their home. Let them steal a TV.
People are stealing boats so that they can go looting.
Oh. Well, that's just double stealing.
Yeah, it's just...
Does that cancel it out, or do they charge you for two crimes in this country?
They probably would. Double the trouble.
Why are we focusing on all the negative here, Jeff?
I don't know.
There's already so much negative.
Well, the silver lining is...
there's negatively charged water is what it is.
But there will be baseball.
You know what? Any scientist worth his salt will tell you that...
Is it salt water, brackish water,
freshwater? I don't know why I'm doing that
voice,
John. I'm so loopy.
That's your nerd voice.
That is a nerd voice.
Is that your Jerry Lewis voice? God rest his soul.
Yeah, it feels very Jerry Lewis, Louisian. But also, like, feels like there's a Simpsons character or something that talks like that. I don't know.
Right. Well, maybe you should do the whole show like that.
Well, you know, there's a setting on the... Right, that we've done the recording where it does that chipmunks thing. It's very close to that.
Do that.
Maybe that's all I'm doing.
So the Texas-Houston game has been moved to Tampa, or was moved, or will be moved?
Yeah, so they're playing now, or, you know, earlier this week, they played in Tampa, which, of course, domed, so that's perfect. Mm-hmm. Also, you don't have to worry about anyone else showing. I mean, they could have played the games at the same time as the Rays games. That's how low the attendance is for Rays games.
Right, they could have played in the morning and
I'm talking about at the same time, John. No one would know. No one would complain. They'd be like, "All right, guys, that's fine. Two batters, two pitchers. I don't know what's happening." That's another voice I'm doing right now. It's a St. Petersburg voice. I don't know what's happening. Hey, hand me that beer. Is that an alligator?
Maybe the St. Pete guy should talk to the Houston guy.
Hey, can you hear me? Well, anybody knows that.
So this is not the first time something like that's happened. I remember it was
these voices.
The moving of games. I know that there's been other disasters that have done the same thing too. And didn't New Orleans get moved after Katrina, the Saints games?
I would assume so. I mean, also there was all that other stuff going on at the Superdome, which no one wanted to be around. I'm talking about the raping, John.
Yeah, it was a sad situation for sure.
It was a very messed up situation. Very messed up situation. Hey, focusing on the positive once again. You know what that's what the show should be called? Focusing on the positive.
But it's kind of hard to talk about a natural disaster of this magnitude and find a silver lining other than what you had said, the unification and everybody coming together to help. That's kind of the best thing that's happened as a result of it.
Yeah, that's good. So here's the deal. So let's go back to the baseball stuff. So Texas and Houston played in Tampa. They didn't, for some reason, Texas couldn't swap home and away with Houston for some reason, just play in Arlington. I think they thought, like, well, then their home games later would affect their season ticket holders or something. Mm-hmm, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like, really, that's the priority? Just swap the games. Let's not make this weird. But whatever, it's complicated. I know it's not as simple as just like, hey, let's do that. Fine. Okay. But the Astros are playing New York in Houston a doubleheader Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did see
that. So that's pretty cool.
Assuming that the people can, you know, get to the game, teams can get to the game.
But even if I mean, obviously the teams getting there is really important to having the game. But, like,
fans,
just getting things back to normal, I think, is always so therapeutic for communities.
No, I would agree.
You know. Anyway, what else is there?
Let's see. There was a trade earlier today.
Speaking of water. The Mariners acquired Mike Leake.
Well done. There's another voice, the laughing guy.
Right? The laughing guy. How come none of the reporters got the news flash on this leak about Mike Leake?
You are giddy.
I'm so messed up right now.
Yeah, that was a big, huge acquisition to stop the leak in the Mariners' starting rotation.
Yeah, this is the big problem for the Mariners, right? Like, they're not falling out of it, but they just can't put out a starting five starting rotation.
They've been amazing. So they'll go up above 500 two, three games, and they'll lose five or six in a row. And this is like the second time that they've done that, that they've gone from being in a playoff spot to out of it, to being within a half a game, to being back, you know, like they're back in fourth place in their division now. So it's just, it's been a total yo-yo for them. And it is starting pitching. It's all starting pitching for them.
Yeah. I mean, this affects me too, because I boldly predicted that they would be the second wild card team. So,
I feel still like plenty I've got of time because it's such a yo-yo right now for that wild
everything
card.
Is still pretty tightly packed.
Yeah, it's, and even the Yankees, just when you think they're back on the beam, they go and lose. You know, get swept by Cleveland. And
Yeah,
it's just a yo-yo.
Aroldis Chapman's fallen apart.
Yeah, pulled from the closer role. And then,
given maybe something broke in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Remember that last game?
Yeah, he was very emotional.
Yeah. That last game, he was terrible. He gave up that home run to Rajay Davis.
Yeah. The infamous Rajay Davis, who's now playing with Boston.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Love a scrappy guy like that on the
Maybe
Red
he'll
Sox.
Bring a little Rajay mojo to Fenway come playoff time.
Hey, John, what's the name of the guy? It's like he's got one of these weird names. I think it's Flaherty. Is it Flaherty? John Flaherty?
Used to be a shortstop for the Padres.
No. He's basically the reason they traded Leake away. Which, by the way, I think this is a smart trade for the Mariners. Like, Leake still got a couple years on his deal, and he's reasonably priced. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a good acquisition for the Mariners for this year and for upcoming. But the Cardinals have this guy. I can't remember if it's Jack Flaherty or John Flaherty.
Don't know.
But he is like this sort of like what's called a pop-up prospect, which means he was not highly regarded, but now he is suddenly. For you fantasy baseball keeper league people, dynasty
hold on a
second,
let me go to my log into my team account.
I'm telling you, this is a guy, you pick him up, he could be, I mean, maybe he isn't, but he's got the stuff. He's been killing it in Double A and Triple A this year. Flaherty. Yeah, but not Joe Flaherty of SCTV.
Got it.
And Happy Gilmore. I just said like six words at once there, John. I apologize. Have a good one.
That's okay. But we'll see if Leake makes it through the rest of the season, because whoever gets inserted into the M's rotation usually winds up on the DL. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's sort of ironic they're trying to use a Leake to inflate their bullpen. Right. Oh, God, you guys. You're welcome.
Okay, on to... the next one, I heard this guy's name the other day, and I had to look it up, and I'm now forgetting his first name, Hoskins.
Reese, the Terminator.
Yeah, so he all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes in and is hitting home runs all over the place.
Kind of out of nowhere.
I've never heard anything about him
before
this
season. Well,
John,
that doesn't mean anything, man.
Huh?
He hit like 38 home runs last year at Double A, right? So here's why people were dubious of him. Everybody hits 38 home runs at Double A, the Phillies Double A Park. I don't remember where it's located, but it's notorious for being like, oh, look, this guy got so many home runs. And then the person flops, right? Mm-hmm. So Reese Hoskins, first baseman / left fielder for the Phillies, having a great year in the minor leagues this year, comes up, fastest player in the history of baseball to get to 11 home runs.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think he was like 0 for 10 in his first three games, too. Like, and then he just starts hitting homers off of everybody.
Good thing he came up in the live ball era. Yes. Asterisk.
What's interesting, though, is the only reason this isn't really that great. I mean, look, he's a first baseman. He's going to be whatever, a top 5, top 10 first baseman, blah, 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 right? But I think you're going to see a lot more of this fastest to blank home runs, because we've already seen, I think you and I've already talked about three or four different times this year, Cody Bellinger, fastest to 30 home runs. Right. Aaron Judge, fastest to 22 home runs. You're going to see a lot of this. There's going to be a lot more home runs. The irony, here's the problem that we're going to have tonight, is when I have multiple thoughts and both of the thoughts want to take over my tongue at the same time. Anyway, which sounds like a weird sex thing also, but don't worry about it.
That's a different podcast.
That's a different podcast. We'll worry about that later.
We'll record that one after this one.
You're going to see lots of this. But there's more home runs, but the run scoring is about the same, which is very strange.
Hmm. Yeah,
there's just guys trying to hit more home runs, so they're probably striking out a little bit more.
It's all about the launch angle.
Hey, that the chicks dig the launch angle?
That's right. They do. It's a whole new thing. See what Sabermetrics has done to baseball?
Hey,
it's not just about the long ball.
We all owe them.
Thank you. The baseball gods, they're not too happy about that, but they'll get used to it.
What do you mean the baseball gods? The Sabermetricians? wins above replacement, the WOBA, the WRC Plus? Come on. These are all vital tools for... Anyway.
Speaking of fastest hit home... Well, not necessarily fastest, but...
How was this home run? Speaking of home runs.
Home runs in general.
Here, well, let's rewind. Hey, speaking of home runs, John.
Yeah, Giancarlo Stanton gets the 50 home runs. Well, today he hit another one, so it's a... Or was it today or yesterday? Yesterday. I think he's up to 51 now.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is like the Giancarlo Stanton. See, you know what he's having? He's having Gian fun. Oh, God, John.
Wow, you are so on.
Yeah, this is a really awful combination of lack of sleep and strangely dosed caffeine.
That was good, though.
So, this is the Stanton that everyone's been hoping for the last, 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Right? The guy who can hit 50, 60 home runs. This is the guy. It's awesome.
He's hit more home runs since the All-Star break than he did before the All-Star break, which is crazy.
Right.
We still have a month to go.
For those who don't know, that's a lesser amount of time.
Yes. A month, by a month.
Yes.
So
maybe even more than a month, maybe a few days.
Yeah. So he's definitely going to pass 61.
No.
You don't think he's going to get hit more than 61 home runs?
I'm just saying, you said definitely, and I'm saying no.
Okay. He most likely will hit 61 home runs, 62 home runs.
Okay.
And could potentially push 70 if he keeps this pace up, which is highly unlikely.
Well, if he keeps this pace
unlikely.
Up, he's going to hit 100, John.
It has been incredible to watch, too. There's no wall scrapers at all.
Yeah, no, it's like these screaming, awesome monster missile shots, like North Korean warheads being launched over Japan. These home runs are... Sorry to get a little political on everyone there. Try to get political. Officer, I have not been drinking. All right, sorry, what?
Stand. But he single-handedly, up until the three-game sweep this week to Washington, had pushed the Marlins back into, or two-game sweep. Was it two games? I don't remember. The Marlins back into potential wild card run.
Yeah.
So they were within 4.5 games. I don't know what they are right now. They're probably dropped down a little bit after losing the last few. But they don't have the pitching to sustain that. But
they had a nice
run,
scoring.
Yeah, they've been doing quite well.
If they get Justin Bour back, that's a really good offense. And then you just need pitching. I know it's like not a small statement, but
Dan Straley seems to be back on target again. But he's not the solution.
He's a great number four starter. If he's your number four, that's fine.
And Urena has had a good year, but not reliable. He'll have like two good games in a row and then have a blow-up game. And I think it always depends on who the team is that he's playing. He does much better against the...
When Urena is pitching, you're in a trouble.
Wow.
That's just a scientific fact, John.
People are going to be asking for the voices from now on. I can hear it already. The phone's going to be ringing off the hook.
I can hear the complaints already.
So let's speaking of home runs.
Yes.
The much maligned Byron Buxton has a three-home run
Mucho
day.
Mucho maligno. He hit three home runs in one day,
which was pretty impressive.
Have we been buying him? I don't remember whether. I want him to be awesome, right? Because he's such a good defender.
Yeah.
And wouldn't it be cool if he was just like, well, who's that? Carlos Gomez. Mm-hmm. Remember how he was?
Yeah.
He was like, not a high batting average, but like just awesome defense and then some power and a lot of speed. Like he could be like a 15 home run, 40 steal guy.
Mm-hmm.
Low batting average, low on base percentage.
Yeah, but he could. I think he could be a 25. 40 guy down the road.
Yeah.
Definitely could be.
Yeah.
But, taking his time developing.
I mean, he's really, the last month or so, he's just really been outstanding. And of course, this is the month after I dropped him off of my fantasy baseball team.
But he's been hyped every year for like 3-4 years as one of the top five prospects.
Yeah. And then last year, he had that great September. He came up, he was poor, but then he had a great September. So everyone was like, oh, well, maybe. And then the first 4 months of this year have just been, or 3 months have been, ugh.
But again, the defense is something defense, that, you know, you kind of shy away from the poor production as a result of, you know,
such exceptional defense. Yeah. I mean, he's robbing doubles and home runs from people on a regular basis. Like, that's worth so much. And we've talked about this a bit with like the Miguel Cabrera thing, the opposite of that, where someone like Miguel Cabrera, who's so good offensively this year, notwithstanding, but who's so good offensively, but gives so much of it back to the other team by being bad defensively, letting hits go through. But this guy is out in center field and just
running all over the place. Yeah.
Making crazy catches. It's awesome.
So we have next up on the list here, Chris Sale, quickest to 1500 Ks.
I was very surprised to see that.
Yeah, me too.
If I had to guess who the fastest to 1500 strikeouts was, I would never guess Chris Sale. I wouldn't even think he's in the top 10.
Do you know who was number two?
I have no idea. I don't do research, John. I'm so tired.
You just saw the headline? Oh, that's John, a good headline.
I can't feel my hands.
Well, let's move on to something that I know you do know more about.
Okay.
Clayton Kershaw.
But anyway, good for Chris Sale.
Good for Chris Sale.
Yeah.
For Red Sox fans all over are rejoicing.
Yes.
But let's move on to Clayton Kershaw back on the bump this week.
Yeah, coming Friday.
Yeah.
Against the Padres, a nice little minor league assignment for Clayton.
He didn't even want to do the rehab start. He was like, let's do this. Let's get me back active last weekend. And they're like, no, we'll take our time. No hurries. Like,
yeah, we have a 600-game lead. Let's not worry about it right now.
Not a big deal. We're good.
I think he wants that Cy Young, though. I think he can smell it.
Over the weekend or last? Because we were off last week, I'm kind of thrown by time frames. But the Dodgers actually lost a series for the first time since like mid-June.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, they're just coasting now. They're just like, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
They can lose 10 in a row. It doesn't matter. It's a great team.
Those Diamondbacks, though, they're hot on their heels.
Yeah.
They're picking up games.
Only 18 and a half games behind.
It's happened before. Well, maybe not 18.
I don't think that's quite happened.
That's
a great team, and you know, obviously we like to see all the best players playing, and good for the Dodgers. Probably won't play him like every fifth game. You know, they'll probably give him a break here and there because gotta save him for the playoffs to disappoint the Dodgers there.
Right.
And to give up random homers to lefties that haven't hit homers off of any lefties in the last 5 years. Whatever, Matt Adams. Just whatever, Matt Adams. Sorry, Dodgers fans. I'm excited about this team. I think it's a great team.
So since we're talking about the Dodgers, did you see Rich Hill's unfortunate outcome against the Pirates the other night?
That he lost?
He lost his no-hitter, took a no-hitter into the 10th.
Oh, the no-hitter. Oh, that was
so
tragic.
He had a perfect game and then took that. Then there was an error, I think, with two outs. And then got out of the 9th, went into the 10th, and gave up a home run in the bottom of the 10th. And lost a perfect game and a no-hitter and got the loss all within three
batters. Yeah, first time in the history of baseball that happened.
Was it really?
Yeah. And interestingly, the Dodgers, who are like the third highest scoring team in the league, scored no runs.
Yeah, that was unusual. That usually happens when Kershaw's pitching, though. You know,
they just haven't had that this year. They just always have someone picking them up. You know, they have a couple people out of the lineup, and
yeah, they're in cruise.
Bellinger's back though. That's another. That's a nice boost for the team. But it's unfortunate. It's always an exciting thing for no hitters. Perfect games are the most rare thing. I guess other than giving up no hitters in the bottom of the 10th, which is the most rare thing. So good for Josh Harrison and bad for Rich Hill, but good for the Dodgers.
And Hill didn't look overly disappointed, you know, after the error. Yeah. And then he didn't look overly disappointed after the home run. It wasn't like he threw his hands in the air or squatted down with his, you know, looking down at the ground. It was, he just kind of watched it go over the fence and just walked off. It's like, well,
I mean, it's got to make everything a little bit easier for a team when you're like 20 games up.
Yeah.
on the next team, and like, you know, you're going to the playoffs and you have a really legitimate shot to make a run at the World Series. That has to be the focus at this point, I would think.
Well, the way that they're being hailed as the even better than what the Cubs were, the expectation is that they're going to sweep every series. You know, they're that good of a team, and that they should have no problem moving through and, you know, sure, getting their first World Series in almost 30 years.
That would be, you know, it'd be good for baseball, I think.
Yeah. No, when the Dodgers are competitive, when there's a West Coast team that's really good, yeah, that's a good thing. I wouldn't say the Giants, even though the Giants have won 3 World Series in 7 years, I don't consider them a really good team.
Yeah, I would say that one of those 3 teams was actually really good, of those Giants teams. But the 2 of them were just like, blech.
Yeah, caught a hot streak, rode some great pitching.
Yeah, a lot of timely hitting. Mm-hmm. Hate to use the word clutch, but we'll say timely.
Panda power.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, let's not focus on the negative. Let's move on. What's going
on? The Nationals activating Trey Turner after being on the 60-day DL. Seems like forever.
Yeah. So he got hit on the wrist, right? He broke his wrist or something. My only concern about this for the Nationals is that's going to take away power. And I know Justin Turner. Is there a Justin Turner? He's on the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, Dodgers.
All right, I'm going to move over to the Nationals now. So I know Trey Turner is not really known for his power, but when he came up last year, he hit a bunch of home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Nationals could use that if they're going up against the Dodgers. If he just becomes like a little Punch and Judy hitter that can run fast, I don't know if that's what they need. So it'll be interesting to see what effect the wrist injury has, even though he's playing again.
And Worth came off the DL and hit a home run today.
Yeah. Worth is always solid when he's not injured. He's always a solid guy. Is this his last year with the Nationals?
What is he, like in his mid-40s? Seems like he's been around forever.
It does seem like that, right? I remember when he first came up with the Dodgers, and they'd gotten him in some weird trade, I think, with the Athletics. And I remember my friends and I called him the Freak because he was, whatever, 6'4". But he ran so fast.
Mm-hmm.
It was so weird. You know who's like that now is Zimmer over in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's huge. But he's like the third fastest guy in the league. How does that even work?
Physics.
Anyway, back to, you know, the physics of baseball here, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Okay, then we have some more bad news, news. Man. And then we'll pick it up with some happy news. Brewers minor leaguer Julio Mendez suffered a cardiac event after being hit by a pitch.
Yes, he got hit by a pitch in the chest, and it basically stopped his heart or whatever. And this came, whatever, a day or two after the, which I guess we didn't discuss, did we? The whole brouhaha, the Yankees, Tigers,
right?
Fisticuffs,
the beaning,
suspensions. How did we miss that? That's my fault. I should have put it.
That's
on there,
okay.
But anyway, so like the beanings and the fights and the bench clearing and the Gary Sanchez getting away with punching people while they're on the ground and then getting a lesser suspension than Miguel Cabrera for some reason, because that was weird. Typical Yankees, though, right?
But let me go back to the cardiac event. When I working in the newspaper business back in the mid-80s...
John, explain to us what newspapers are.
I actually...
That's like the internet, but that you can hold it in your hand.
I did an investigative piece that actually wound up winning me a first place writing award from the Florida Sports Writers Association on this exact thing, in that kids being hit in the chest, little leaguers being hit in the chest and having a cardiac event. This is just going to shock you, but more children, this is back in the mid-80s again, so more children died from being hit by a baseball than in any other sport at that time.
Oh, really?
Because of the vibration.
Well, you know why? Because the other sports don't have baseballs.
Yeah, people aren't throwing at you. That's probably why.
It's just clever writing right there.
No, but it was interesting. I remember, you know, doing the research on it and then wound up talking to an inventor who'd come up with this chest cup that was meant to be put inside of the little leaguer's jersey to protect them from being hit by a pitch, but it basically causes a vibration to the vagus nerve in your chest, which is connected to the heart, and that causes the cardiac event, which is shocking. Yeah, so kids, stay away from those inside pitches.
Yeah.
Turn the other way. Don't turn into the pitch. Turn away from the pitch.
Yeah, I guess because that's what,
Yeah. Yeah, it is crazy. So then, speaking of kids being playing baseball, we had Japan winning the Little League World Series over the weekend.
Yes.
A nice event, happy event.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say, it's not like Japan beat the U.S.
No.
Okay. Japan beat, like, a region of the U.S.
Yes, the small little portion of a county
very clear.
In a state in the U.S.
I want to be clear.
It's not the best of the U.S.
Yeah. I'm just glad that, you know, all these kids have a chance to just, like, have this terribly traumatic experience televised for everyone to see.
Just traumatic. Well, I was watching, I had it on the background, the U.S. championship game. And I think it was North Carolina.
Is that the one with that catch?
That was a great catch. Yeah. Fantastic. But the score was like 5-2 in the fifth, sixth inning. And I was like, oh, it looks like North Carolina is going to represent the U.S. Then I saw the game on the next day and it was Texas. I'm like, I guess North Carolina blew that game. And I had watched it because when you hit 85 pitches is the pitch limit. And they had to take out their ace. So whoever stepped in for him must not have done very well because that was in the fifth inning. So unfortunate for.
They took out the ace. And they brought in someone who dropped a deuce.
Very good. Man, you have to do red eyes more often.
No,
Joe. The laughs are coming fast and furious today.
The laughs are just for you and me.
Well, that wraps up our headlines for this week.
Oh, it does? Oh
actually,
yeah, look
it
at
does.
That.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to jump into Starting Nine.
Starting Nine, yes.
In honor of the Little League World Series, I'd like to know what the connection is for this. The nine players with teen heartthrob names, it's just because they're kids?
Yeah.
Or they're heartthrobs actually that you admired during the Little League World Series in a non-creepily way?
Well, first of all, I wanted to tie, I guess this is actually more tied into that kid who had a cardiac event.
Heartbeat?
It's a heart throb.
Yeah, gotcha.
That's what the doctors are diagnosing it as, a heart throb. Oh, wait, you know, I just realized, John, we don't have our...
Yeah, we were a little thin.
Seventh inning stretch on here.
No.
I have one written down somewhere. I'll pull it up. But anyway.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so Starting Nine for Little League World Series, nine players with teen heartthrob names.
Did you write these on the plane on your way home?
No. I did these this afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, 80s icon and still making movies, though, of the Christian faith basis, Kirk Cameron. No longer a heartthrob. His heart throbs for Jesus, maybe. I don't know. God bless him. Cameron Maben.
Cameron Maben. Good.
Yeah. Oh, so for people who don't know what Starting Nine is, it's people... John, can you explain it? I don't know.
Starting Niner, Jed will dig deep into his treasure trove of creativity to make a connection to current players with some sort of theme. And this week's theme is in honor of the Little League World Series, nine current players in Major League Baseball with teen heartthrob sounding names.
Right. Great. So maybe the throbbiest of all heartthrobs, Elvis Presley. And so I have Elvis Andrus of the Rangers, right?
Okay.
Corey Haim, rest in peace. Corey Kluber.
Okay.
Right?
These are very creative so far.
You know what, John? I don't know if I mentioned. I've got jet lag. Leif Garrett. You know what? By the way, I feel like at least half the people on this list are like major cokeheads.
Well, that's what happens when you're a teen heartthrob.
I'm just looking at this list, right? And ironically, cocaine causes heart failure.
Mm-hmm. And so do baseballs hitting you in the chest.
Wait a second. Is this why they're called heartthrobs? Is because teens worship them, they start doing cocaine, and their hearts throb.
Could be.
Wow.
It's a whole new definition. Yeah.
Something to think about.
Hashtag heartthrob.
Leif Garrett, and so I have Amir Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Debbie Gibson, mix in a little female action. Females can be heartthrobs. Kyle Gibson.
Okay.
All right, good. Everyone knows Tyler Beadles. The Beadles, right? Famous heartthrobs. Tyler Beadles.
Okay.
All right.
That's better. I like those. I like the creative ones.
Here's... Leonardo DiCaprio. I got Sandy Leon the catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't quite work. I thought it would, for some reason in my head it worked. I don't even know why I wrote it out. All right. Next one, Britney Spears. We got Zach Britton.
Okay, all good.
Yeah, I know. These are terrible. Ricky Martin, Living La Vidal Nuna Loco.
That was much better than just going with the Leonis Martin.
Oh, yeah.
That, I like yours better, much better. Yeah. That, okay. Because that was, yeah, that's creative.
Yeah, I guess I could have just gone with Martin, didn't I?
No, that's not. No, I like it when you really play with the names. Okay. And, yeah, it's
yeah. So he's Living La Vida Loca. So I did Vidal Nuno, who's a lefty that keeps getting traded around the league, and no one knows if he's actually any good. Anyway, so there you go. Starting nine. Not my best work.
But it's done on jet lag, and we appreciate the effort.
Do we?
Yes.
All right.
We all do. And we don't have to say one anymore. It's not the lone listener. We all do. True. Our collective audience feels for you because of your jet lag status.
There's one thing I love is pity, John. Thank you. So, hey, are you buying it, or are we going to do
we can do both. Extra, we've got plenty of time.
No, but I mean, do you want to do it now? I guess we should do the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah, usually that's what's next, yes.
So what I had wanted to do was, in honor of the Game of Thrones season ending, mm-hmm. is I was going to do three up, three down, three good, three bad, fantasy movies.
Oh, okay.
Not porn fantasy, like specifically fantasy movies that were like Game of Thrones. Not like, well, Ghostbusters is fantasy. No, not like that.
So I don't know the list, so I'm excited.
I don't know. I'm going to see if I can remember it. I wrote it down somewhere. I can't find it.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to it. Three and three.
Okay, so three, very good. So first of all, Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. The trilogy.
Let's just count that. I mean, we could do that as one, two, three, and that would be the end of the list, but let's have a little more fun. Now, here's the thing. I wanted to put Princess Bride on this list, but is that really a fantasy? In the sense of like fantasy, like that feels more like a comedy.
Yeah.
Like if I was saying comedy fantasies, it's number one, but just straight fantasy, like losing yourself in that world of blah, blah, blah. Right. I'm going to go with no. I'm going to say it doesn't qualify, though if it did, it would be in the top three.
So it's excluded.
It's excluded. Okay. It's excluded. What else is there? Conan the Barbarian. Not the new one, but the original.
The Arnold ones?
That one. I watched that last year. I think it holds up-ish. I mean, obviously it doesn't fully hold up special effects-wise, but I think the story is so interesting. Plus, it was like the emergence of Arnold Schwarzenegger, so it has...
That was like 35 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it's like the cultural... Ago. I mean, he was in whatever, the Hercules in New York and the Pump and Iron or whatever, but Conan is really where he came out.
So to speak.
Whatever, yeah. But like where... That's not the right word. What's the word? Like he broke out.
Emerged. Emerged onto the scene.
He emerged. He crushed the women and... he crushed the women and children? No. To crush the enemies... I used to know this by heart. What is it? Oh, yeah. To crush the enemies, to see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of the women.
Oh.
That, according to Conan, is what is good in life.
Wow. Well, Conan's... Yeah. Schooling everybody then. I don't remember that at all. I saw it once, and that was
also in... a little. This was edited out, but he said banging the maid.
That didn't make the. That was left on the cutting room floor.
They edited it out. They were like, you know what? People aren't going to understand what that means, Arnold.
Until the future.
No, I'm serious. I'm serious. This is what's good in life. Banging the maid.
That sounds like a new Arnold movie with Danny DeVito.
He's into some new movie right now, right? With
he's done
Taron
a couple
Killam
of
Killam directed, I think.
Oh, really?
SNL, yeah. Wow. It's like Killing Siegfried or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he's done a couple of. I mean, he's not the action hero anymore, and he's been in a couple of straight to video movies that are like, no, stop. That's gone.
Well, you know, the thing is as he got older, he really had to like lean on his acting skills.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah.
Too bad there's no steroids for that, right?
No.
It's always banging the maid, though.
Always banging the maid.
Allegedly, as proven by DNA. All right, so what else is a good... I can't believe that.
The Hobbit, right. Probably you can disqualify that.
So The Hobbit is then the three down. And here's why.
Ooh.
Yeah, three down because it was so disappointing compared to the Lord of the Rings series. I had such high hopes for Lord of the Rings, and they were meted and exceeded. I was trying to create like a rhythmic thing there. Anyway, so And then, but for The Hobbit, it was just like, what is going on right now? Like, I don't, and it's like, it doesn't matter, like, the book, it just matters, like, why is this three films?
Right.
Why are you, they why definitely are you dragging this out?
Yeah, it definitely didn't need to be three, but there are some great sequences. And
I don't even want to hear about that. that doesn't, sure. Yeah, look, hey, he had a lot of money and he spent it. Good for him. What I'm talking about is the storytelling and being immersed in that universe. I'm like Willow. Willow's very good. I don't think it's top in that top three, but that's also a really good one.
Yeah.
But I can't for the life of me remember what my other
What about Labyrinth?
Okay, down. Labyrinth is good, but first of all, we'll just say it doesn't really qualify because it's not really this kind of fantasy.
What was that, right? What was that other movie we talked about?
Kingdom of Heaven is terrible.
Okay.
But that's not really fantasy, is it? Like, that's just like a period piece, I guess. Mm-hmm. But man, mm-hmm. Any chance I can bring up that movie. I remember seeing that movie at the, somewhere in Hollywood, Chinese Theater, the modified Chinese Theater, right? It was like a 40 seat theater. Ooh, what a majestic Hollywood experience. Look at this closet that happens to have a theater in it. I was openly mocking the film and laughing at it. And no one in the audience cared. They all agreed. It was so terrible. It's like terribly delivered lines and just awful plot points. And so I just openly criticized, and it was fantastic. My part of it. The film was not good.
Did people applaud you at the end?
I don't think so. I think everyone just kind of like, well, I guess it could have been worse. That guy couldn't have been here, and I would have actually had to watch this movie. The Sword and the Sorcerer.
Mm-hmm.
This is a terrible movie with a three-bladed sword. I'm telling you. I remember my mom taking me to see this movie when I was a little kid. I don't know why she took me to see it. But I remember we were living in the Fairfax District of Los Angeles. I remember the theater that we went to. And I remember sitting there watching this movie just thinking, like, this is terrible. And I think now you can watch it on Netflix or some or Amazon Prime. But it's with the Riff Trax guys. Like the...
Oh, yeah.
The Mystery Science Theater take on it, where you like spew jokes throughout the movie, right?
Yeah.
That's how bad it is. And that is a bad sci-fi film. So I don't know if I've done three up and three down necessarily.
What about the Excalibur films?
Well, here's the thing. The only thing I remember about Excalibur was A, Lancelot humping a sword. And that Merlin's in it. That's literally all I remember.
It was a classic, instant classic when it first came out. It was just rave reviews, and it's been forever since I've seen it. But it doesn't hold well over time.
I would imagine that's the problem with fantasy, side. Though, right?
Yeah, special effects wise, you're kind of like, yeah, that doesn't look too good.
Yeah,
we have high expectations to be CGI to death when we go to movies now.
You know what's interesting though to think about, John, is what if 30 years from now, we're at movies and we're thinking, like, remember Lord of the Rings? Jesus.
Well, it's going to be holograms and full immersion and 360 right? viewing. And, yeah, we'll be looking back at these films.
That doesn't sound like my America, John.
Yeah, they're going to be like, well, when are they going to do Lord of the Rings in 360? You know, come on. Because now I guess what, Terminator 2 is coming out is out right now in 3D. Cameron just redid that, so that's out.
Oh, is that right?
As of this weekend, releases a 3D film. Who knew? I didn't know anything about it until I was at the movies a few weeks ago and saw a trailer for it. I was like, oh, I didn't know they were even doing that. So they'll be doing that to other films down the road.
Did you hear him running his mouth about the Wonder Woman?
Uh-uh, not at all.
Yeah.
What do you have to say?
Felt that it wasn't a good representation of the blah, 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 blah.
You need to get back to your mic. You're far away.
Oh, am I far away?
Now you're good.
How am I now? Okay, good.
Testing.
Anyway, yeah, sorry. I was trying to read. I was trying to go through the document to see. Oh, Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
I was going
to
mention that, but I thought you'd be like, no, that's a comedy. But that still kind of fits in that genre.
It still fits, right? A little bit?
Yeah.
I guess it. I mean, it doesn't really have any fantasy, though, does it? I guess it does a little bit. The bunny rabbit. Death awaits with big, nasty, pointy teeth.
Yeah, I've seen that movie. Gosh, so many times. So good. And I actually have a script of the film signed by all of the characters.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty cool. Somebody gave it to me as a Christmas gift. A co-worker gave it to me as a Christmas gift.
That's a nice gift.
I was just like, whoa. Yeah, it was pretty nice.
Anyway.
So it's under glass somewhere in the artifacts wing of the Sumple estate.
Nice.
Okay, so are we, we're wrapped up with that?
I think we did three or four of each, and that's good.
We'll have it together next time.
Yeah,
we'll be all organized and polished.
This is such a train wreck, man.
But it's still good. So are you buying it?
Right, the last time we did the AL wild card for Are You Buying It, and we were buying the Yankees, and I was buying the Mariners, and we were sort of dubious of everyone else. Where is it at right now? Is it the Twins or the guys right now?
Twins and Angels seem to be the closest, I believe.
God, if there's only technology that existed where
we could just go on and
pull
check
up the standings. Anyway, I don't really care. We're talking about the National League wild card, which we mentioned the last show that we were hoping that it would get closer. It did. I think actually last week it was closer, and then the Brewers lost a few games, and the Diamondbacks and Rockies have won some.
Yeah,
it really
just
looks like it's Diamondbacks and Rockies, right? Well,
Baltimore though came rushing back into the AL wild card with
they won again
on
today.
A seven game. Yeah, so they are now within a game. So we still have.
But they'll lose 16. Three in a row. This is what teams do, John. It's called baseball. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah. Mariners, five game losing streak to kind of put you in
five
a...
Five game losing streak. And three of them to the Orioles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's part of the problem.
Sad.
Get it together, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the NL side.
So I'm buying the Diamondbacks for sure. And we talked about this team at the beginning of the year, and we were like, this is actually a good team. It has the pieces... Because we were talking about whether or not they should trade off players. And it was one of those things where, like, well, if the players are worthy of being traded, the team will be doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And here they are.
Yeah. They've got,
doing
they're up
pretty
two
well.
They're up 2.5 on Colorado, so they're pretty secure
in
that first position. Milwaukee just won't go away, so they're still in it.
Yeah. I mean, most importantly for the Diamondbacks, they're like 7 up on Milwaukee. So like
they're good. They're pretty much.
That's why they're in the playoffs for all intents and purposes. So really it's a question of can the Brewers catch the Rockies? And I still think they can. I just don't think they will at this point. Like it's not probable. It's just they're just not quite built for that. They need like that Chris Sale starting pitcher.
Yeah, they've been consistent though all season. The Brewers are probably one of the teams that have been pretty much what you like you said in the very beginning of the year. They're a team that could win 85 games with just what they have, and they have a solid team, and it looks like they're on that journey right now.
But the problem I think for the team was that they had that big breakout for Eric Thames at the beginning of the year. I said it right that time.
Yeah,
John.
You did. It was good.
Even with the – maybe that's what I needed was jet lag to finally say his name right. But they just haven't had, like, that one or two guys that carries the offense, you know, just pushes the team past, you know, their opponents. Mm-hmm. The pitching's been good. The bullpen's very good. The pitching – starting pitching's solid, but they just haven't had that offensive consistency to push them. You know, that guy who goes – it doesn't need to be like a Giancarlo Stanton, you know, 18 homers in August kind of thing. But, you know, someone who could like pop 10 doubles and 5 home runs, you know, in a couple weeks and, you know, turn things around for the team. And they just haven't had that. They've just been steady, steady. And it's not, you know, it's not enough to make the playoffs.
Yeah. Speaking of Stanton, I think he's one home run away from setting the all-time home run mark in August. So I don't even know if they're playing tomorrow.
No, I think he said it, didn't he?
I think he tied it.
Did he tie it with the 51st home run?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's awesome. You know, again, like in fantasy baseball, in real baseball, this is what everyone's been hoping from him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do feel it's a little bit has to do with Aaron Judge getting a little bit much of like the, there's a new kid in town and he's hitting homers.
And Stanton was probably like, I didn't get that kind of attention when I first came up. He did get hyped
in
South Florida.
Stanton is a good-looking guy.
Yeah. He says Judge it's too a mid-season of batting stance adjustment,
and that is something that they have proven that he has changed he tightened up his stance a little bit or something like that.
The bigger thing though has been his pitch selection has gotten so much better this year.
Yeah.
He has been susceptible for his entire career going after pitches outside.
Yeah,
especially any right-hander throwing him off-speed stuff that breaks away from the plate. He usually is bailing 6 inches outside, you know, swinging at stuff that's really far out of the strike. Not this year. He's been very selective and definitely has been proven in his walk rate is much higher than it's been ever. So he's, yeah. We're back to Stanton.
I like to imagine him, like, visualizing each baseball is Aaron Judge's head. Like, look, maybe there's nothing to it or whatever. I just like the idea of people being, like, petty and vindictive like that. Like, no, I'm going to hit more home runs. Fine, I'm finally going to live up to my potential because this guy's getting all this.
Yeah, he's laughing, you know, all the way to the bank.
But now there's people talking about trading for him, right? Like,
yeah,
now
it's,
now the 60 home run Stanton, that contract is looking a little sexy. It looks, and it's like, I don't mind paying him $35 million a year. They might actually get something back if they trade.
If they did it, I mean, I think if they do it, they'll do it in the offseason. I don't think they're going to do it by tomorrow. That's for sure.
They want all the leverage they can get.
Well, the team that seems to be the most interested in this is the Giants, believe it or not.
Which is so weird.
Yeah.
That is totally not what they should be doing with their money.
No. They need to retool a whole heck of a lot. Their minor league system isn't that great either. They just have to, they're in a restocking scenario, and they're not going to do it by trading away any pieces that they have left. And financially,
because now you would
sense.
Actually have to give up a good player to get Stanton. It's not like, oh, you just take on the contract and it's all good. So plus with the new ownership, right? Like
I think they're going to
want
to
give him away.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. They're going to.
I think they should trade him, but you can't give him away anymore. And I don't think you have to eat much of the contract now with the 60 home run pace.
Yeah,
and 70 home run pace or 100 home run pace.
For Marlins fans, as much as they look him as the face, this is like the perfect time. They're going to get a haul for him in the off season if they do send him to the right team.
Yeah.
Okay, back to, are you buying it? So you said you're in on the Diamondbacks. What about, and we said Brewers, Rockies, Cardinals?
Yeah, no,
Mariners,
so it's going to be the Rockies. I mean, I think they're going to just barely hang on. I don't think the Cardinals the Cardinals wouldn't have traded Mike Leake if they thought that they were in it, because it just looks bad. If you trade Mike Leake, then you miss the playoffs by a game.
Unless this Flaherty guy comes up and.
You know, that is a good point. Flaherty is awesome. Flaherty is awesome.
We shall see. Maybe because Cardinals have done some amazing things with player development, and you know they've done quite well without superstars since the Pujols era ended. And you know, we'll
and
see.
Now, but I'm worried about them with their new motif of jerking players around.
Oh yeah, you know, signing them and then dumping them into the minors.
Yep. Yeah, bringing them up, sending them down. Yeah, I feel like that would bother me.
Yeah, yeah. So you're good? So you're all in on the D-backs?
Yeah.
Half-heartedly in on the Rockies and Brewers and Cardinals now?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Well, that will wrap up Are You Buying It? And move us into the final segment, Extra Innings.
Yes.
When we take a peek outside of the world of baseball into more of a pop culture thing, other sports, pop culture. And the fight over the weekend was kind of like both sport and pop culture.
Yes.
This has turned into
quite a spectacle.
It is. It's entertainment.
It was a sportacle.
Yeah. I wonder if that's been coined before. It definitely was, because what did they do? Like a six-country tour of press conferences before the fight?
Well, look, McGregor made, what, $100 million? And Mayweather made $200 or $300 million?
It's crazy.
You do whatever touring you need to do.
Right. And that's what it was. And you can tell that before the fight, it's all about the hype and people eat that stuff up. I didn't see a single press conference.
But I think generally people thought it paid off.
I think McGregor held his own based on what I read, and much more than anybody expected. They said he could actually box. And some of the promoters before the game, the hype artists that were saying that Mayweather is going to make short work of him. It'll be over in three or four rounds. And wasn't a case. And the main reason why, they said, is because he couldn't kick and he's not a great boxer. Apparently, he was a pretty decent boxer.
But he still couldn't kick.
No, unfortunately. That would have been
different.
Isn't
there a song by INXS, Sometimes You Kick?
Yes.
Sometimes You Get Kicked?
Yes.
All right. Do we have to pay anybody licensing any?
I don't think so. Unless you sing it. Yeah. And I think we're good.
Okay, good. I might start singing it, John. You never know.
So one of the notes in here, though, is that the fight was illegally streamed by nearly 3 million viewers.
Right. So they had 5 million purchases of the pay-per-view. And then...
That's $300 million of lost revenue.
Well, is it, though? Or is it just people who are watching who wouldn't have paid?
True. That's true.
Yeah. So it's a... I mean, that's one of the things about like pirating and stuff. Like, I used to worry about pirating because I have a, I know my documentary "Fools on the Hill," which you can get online at Amazon Prime.
Amazon,
but if you can't get it on Amazon Prime, you can always just stream it from Russian websites for free.
That's a good point, though. People, you know, they're not going to buy it anyway unless they can get it for free. So it's really not lost revenue.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird thing. So,
how are they doing this? Was this through like third party?
I think like Instagram was the big culprit.
Huh.
There were people who were posting stuff on Instagram, I think, and then it's like. Anyway, I just thought it was sort of interesting. That's why I wanted. I don't really care that much about the fight because I'm not a boxing fan or MMA or whatever. But
yeah, me neither.
I just think sort of like where our culture is right now. That like, oh, here's this event, and it's $100 if you want to watch it, or you can go to the bar. Or I know a lot of bars weren't carrying it because I don't know if you know the pay-per-view rules. Bars don't pay $100 for it.
They pay big money, right?
They pay big money. They pay basically like how many people are you going to be able to fit in your bar? That's how much you have to pay for it. So a lot of bars are just like, well, I'll just not cover it.
Yeah, I just don't see why people, I mean, like front row seats, you know, were in the thousands of dollars, ringside seats. But I guess people got their money's worth when you think of it. You know, that's one of the things that's so tough about boxing in particular is that it's could be over in 30 seconds when Tyson was fighting, or it could, you know, last 12 rounds.
Yeah, there you go. Enough about the boxing.
So GOT, season ender. Right.
Enough about brutal interactions among humans.
Right. Did you get all caught up? Because I remember you were a little lagging there.
No. That's been remedied.
So should we talk about it?
I feel like a warning to our
listeners that, you know, if you haven't seen the final.
I don't think we should do that because here's the thing. I always put this on here because I only want to talk about the pop culture aspect of it.
Okay.
First of all, how many podcasts there are right now where that's what they talk about, and then they break it down and like the political stuff
within
and
30 minutes of it being over.
Yeah, no, it's
crazy.
It's so weird. And like, yeah, I understand like if you're doing a recap for a thing, you know, everyone wants those cheap clicks, right? But there's a market for it. Like there's whatever 20 different podcasts talking about Game of Thrones because everyone wants to eat it up, and people don't just listen to one. They want to hear like, oh. What did you think Danny and John were going to, you know, what's going to happen with that weird situation? Right. And what about this move? And how about how they presented this and how this? And then there's like the aspect of how it ties into the books. And do you think this is where the books are going to go? Because there's no reason why this show is actually, they say they're being guided by what they understand the books to be, the final books, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what they're saying?
I haven't really followed much of what people have talked about what Martin's intentions are and how closely they are in following his storyline. Yeah.
So my understanding is that they're using it as like a rough guideline. But you know, they've been pretty well off the books. Well, more so than completely on the books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's television. You gotta change it up a little bit for television.
So the big thing that all the groaning though is that they're saying that the next the final season isn't gonna be until 2019. Nothing next year.
Right.
And there's like, what?
And I feel like that's not a true thing.
But they go into the last, for this season, they started shooting in February.
Yeah.
And this season they started shooting, or for the next season, they're not going to start shooting until October. So that's a 7-month difference.
Till October of next year?
This year. They're not going to start. But for this season, they were shooting the same time frame in February. So it's 7 months later that they're shooting. So I could see it being pushed back.
Oh, wait. They were shooting last season while the new
No. It was the year before that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This gives me a headache, John. I'm way too tired.
So in order for them to have it out for next year, they should have started shooting it in February of this year. And they didn't do that. So they pushed it back.
Right.
And the main reason that I heard was because the writers hadn't fleshed out the final storylines. Yeah.
Well, a lot of it was like them trying to figure out how many episodes it needed to be, right?
Because
they're doing a little bit of that dragging it out thing. No offense, pun intended. No offense to dragons.
Well, the dragons are front and center in the last four or five episodes.
Yes. Spoiler alert.
Just in case you missed the whole season, Dragons.
Just in case you missed any trailers or ads or anything for it. Yes. Yeah. Dragons. But it is dragging on a little bit.
Oh,
did you see the picture of Jon Snow? This is where my mind is at right now. It's just dancing around. They have a picture of Jon Snow. What's his name? Delbert McCulloch or whatever.
Kit Harington,
right? Yeah. And it's a photo of him, and he's got these little nerdy glasses on. He's got his hair and his little beard and, you know, not fully grown in hair and beard. And anyway, there's a picture of George R.R. Martin when he was like 22. It looks exactly the same.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen that yet.
Not quite as, you know, gorgeous as Kit Harington.
Kit, yeah.
Steve Blunderbuss or whatever his name is. And Kit
can look at George and say, this is what I have to look forward to?
Oh, I don't think he has that to look forward to. This is a gorgeous, gorgeous man. He's short, but he's gorgeous. And I don't think that can be said of
Daenerys Martin. Even said that to Tyrion in one of the episodes. He's too short for me.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And she said, no offense.
Should she really say that, though? She's a teeny weeny.
Yeah, she's pretty small.
Yeah. They're all little shorties. All actors are.
Yeah, and you're always surprised when you see them.
6'5" guys, and it's like, wow.
Get a bench to
stand up.
How come
they haven't killed you?
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Selena Gomez's Instagram.
It's all about them apple boxes.
What was that?
Sorry, what?
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 Selena Gomez hacked Instagram. Nude photos are pouring out of it.
Right. Justin Bieber's nude photos. Now, John.
Didn't hear about it. I don't really follow the Biebs.
I do a lot for the listeners following pop culture, but I will not be looking up Justin Bieber nudes. First of all, is there a person with more dumb tattoos? Second of all,
I really don't follow.
I don't want to see what other dumb tattoos he has,
and where they're placed,
and where they're placed.
Right. So, but that was a thing. Is this like the fappening that happened a couple years ago, when like
exactly.
dozens of actresses had their content
their iClouds,
spilled?
Yeah. Here's the trick, ladies and gentlemen. Don't keep nude pictures on your phone
or in the cloud,
or don't keep them, don't take them,
right?
And then don't keep them.
Or
here's the thing.
If it's something you want to use for publicity shots, and because now more and more women,
yeah,
or even men to a certain extent, are saying, who cares, I'm just going to take these because I get
Olivia good, Munn.
Right, I get more press, I get more.
Do you remember when she did that with her texts with Chris Pine. Yeah, remember she did that? She was like, they broke up and she released all his texts. My phone got hacked. Oh, no. And but it was all screen caps of texts to Chris Pine. Like, wait a minute. So you had screen caps of these texts?
Yeah, what's that all about?
And then that got hacked? I'm sorry. That's not how computers work.
Right.
But anyway, it was all stuff basically like Chris Pine likes butt stuff and... It was like their sexy stuff back and forth, and she leaked it, and then she got some more work off of it because that's how this is a great industry to work in.
And she's probably going to dump a whole bunch on Aaron Rodgers now, right?
You got to assume.
Yeah, it's
right?
coming. It's coming. Watch out, Aaron.
I'm telling you, MVP, he's going to have one of those seasons. Cut that
right.
albatross loose.
Right. So you won't be sharing any photo insights in future podcasts of the Biebs?
No.
You're good. Okay.
No, I'm good.
And I saw this headline. This is our last story of the week. Kathy Griffin saying that her pal, Anderson Cooper, is dropping,
her New Year's
dumping
Eve pal.
Her. Yeah. Her buddy is no longer interested in hanging with her because of the Trump photo scandal she was involved with.
Yeah. No, I don't care about this at all because whatever. I just thought there's a side note on this story was that Kathy Griffin also says that her neighbor, Kim Kardashian, has been very supportive. And my first thought was like, of course, because Kim Kardashian also made her career off of giving head.
Oh, what a perfect setup and what a wonderful way to end this episode.
Good night. I'm going to sleep, John.